This is CBS, Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Puerto Rico, part of the conversation in the closing hours of the election of 2024 because of events at Madison Square Garden and also because the clarity of what Puerto Rico represents in 2024 has been lost. And thanks to Mary Anastasia O'Grady, writing in her column for the Wall Street Journal editorial board, I now am as up to date as any as to why Puerto Rico continues to struggle, why Puerto Rico continues to be a source of despair for people who either were born there or travel there or wonder about a colony of the United States of America that has ambitions. And yet, Mary, a very good evening to you. You introduce a story that you told me many years ago about the debt overhang in Puerto Rico that was cleared up in 2016, the last year of Mr. Obama's administration, and when Donald Trump was elected in late 2016. What is the PROMESA Act, Puerto Rico Oversight, Management, and Economic Stability Act of 2016? Good evening to you.
Well, good evening, John. Back then, in the, seems like 100 years ago, it was actually about a decade ago, the government in Puerto Rico was spending recklessly and running up huge amounts of debt and deficit. And they got to a point where the governor, who was basically a Democrat, Garcia Padilla, decided that he couldn't pay and he wasn't going to pay. So he announced that there was going to be a write-down of the bonds that Puerto Rico had issued. And at the time, I think that because Puerto Rico did not have the ability to declare bankruptcy, just like U.S. states cannot declare bankruptcy, he was going to have to sit down and hammer things out with the bondholders. And he didn't want to do that because they were going to be able to take property from him and basically, you know, make sure that they were made whole. And so he appealed to Washington, and President Obama signed legislation, bipartisan legislation from the Congress, which said, okay, Puerto Rico, you can default on your debt and restructure it, and turned around to the bondholders and said, and you will have to take a haircut. So they created this oversight board because, you know, there are lots of people like me who said they shouldn't be able to get away with a default and a restructuring the debt without actually cleaning up their act. So they created the oversight board that said, don't worry, we're going to be in charge here. We're going to handle the haircut, and we're going to make sure that Puerto Rico cleans up its act. And as I write in my column, 10 years later, they were happy to write down the debt, but the structure of all of the dysfunctionality of huge government, heavy tax burden, heavy regulation, and so forth still exists, and it's very hard for the island to grow.
You identify the problem, and it has to do with what you just mentioned. The government employment is overwhelming. It's more over government employees per civilian or private employees than any other place in the United States of America. Is this something that's been in place for decades, Mary, or was this something in the late 20th century? Where did it come from, hiring everybody from government?
Your listeners may be familiar with the name Rex Tugwell. He was part of FDR's brain trust back in the New Deal. And FDR subsequently sent him to Puerto Rico, where he had a little laboratory for his, you know, centrally planned economy. And that was the beginning of the mess in Puerto Rico. And since then, it's just been, I mean, we talk about a welfare state. It sounds like everybody's on welfare, but along with the fact that, you know, there are a lot of people on public assistance in Puerto Rico, there's also this massive government structure. I mean, so many people work for the public sector, and of course that costs money, that costs, you know, you have to have higher taxes to pay for that and so forth. And so it's really a dysfunctional place with an economy that doesn't grow.
It appears that the PROMESA board acts pretty much like an aristocracy. Is that true, Mary, that they have all power?
Well, they're pretty much running the government. I mean, the Puerto Rican government would like to get rid of them, but they haven't complied with all the things that they were supposed to do 8 years ago when the O board came in. But yes, I mean, at this point, you know, they didn't just handle the write down of the debt, but they also have the authority to force Puerto Rican bureaucracies to, you know, clean up their act. And they haven't done that.
I note that the president of the United States makes the appointments of PROMESA. So with the change of presidency, perhaps there's another day. But the additional puzzle is that Puerto Rico has enjoyed tax breaks over the years. Have all, I was reading quickly, so I might have missed it. Has all the privileges of Puerto Rico, have they been all gone away, or are they continued to be generous towards companies that locate there?
Well, the federal government ended a special program that they used to have for pharmaceutical manufacturing, but the island still gives incentives for large multinationals, and they're mostly pharmaceutical companies and manufacturing companies, to come there and do business. One of the problems that I should note is that the O board, even though it has this authority, and like you say, it's kind of like the viceroy on the island, it does run up against resistance from the locals. I mean, they will often, if they tried to, if the O board tried to rule with a very heavy hand, every time they do something where they say you have to do this or you have to do that, they end up in court. And Puerto Rico is continually arguing, you know, that it has sovereignty and that certain things they can't be forced to do and so forth. But on the tax structure, these large corporations get these carve-outs, but the rest of the island, where you have small and medium-sized businesses making up like 95% of the businesses on the island, those guys take it on the chin. I mean, they pay something like, the highest, Puerto Rico is the second highest corporate tax rate in the world, which is 37.5%. So, you know, if you have special carve outs for large multinationals, that's, in my opinion, not good. You should have a flat tax rate for everybody. But if that's what you want to do, fine. But you have to bring down the taxes for the job creators on the island, which are small and medium-sized businesses.
Yes, you mentioned in particular that getting a start, being an entrepreneur in Puerto Rico is a challenge to geniuses. Mary, this is the opposite of what it should be. This should be a place that grows very quickly as the United States grows. So the suggestion here is that the regulators are in charge of the island and the O board is in charge of the regulators. Is it that simple? We have about 30 seconds.
Well, you know, the thing is that being an island in the middle of the Caribbean is challenging. You know, it's always more expensive to get energy. There's a lot of challenges that, so that would encourage you to be more competitive with your regulatory and tax structure rather than less competitive. And instead, the island looks like a lot of Latin America, where economic freedom is not a priority. And as long as that remains the case, I think it's going to be very tough for Puerto Rico to make a turnaround and start creating jobs for Puerto Ricans so they can stay at home rather than forced to migrate to the mainland for work.
Mary Anastasia O'Grady, writing at the Wall Street Journal editorial board about Puerto Rico is in 2024. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.